Sunday, Zion Kislev, Rabbi Meir Myers. The Indian, can one make a bracha on a minhag?
You'll see. A long time ago, in a small town in Europe, sat two rabbanim in a beautifully candlelit Beis HaMedrash. One was called Rabbi Yaakov, and the other was called Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Yaakov and Moshe, they regularly debated various halachic topics. One day, Rabbi Moshe comes into the Beis HaMedrash, sits down near Rabbi Yaakov, and he says to him, My dear Rabbi Yaakov, what's your opinion regarding making a bracha on a minhag? Making a bracha on a minhag? Shouts Rabbi Yaakov, jumps out of his bench. What's the shaila? My dear Rabbi Moshe, what a question to ask. Of course you can make a bracha on a minhag. Don't you know the Gemara in Tanis, Daf Havchet Amud Bet? The Gemara says, Rav Ikle le Bavel, Rav who came from Eretz Yisrael, he was visiting Bavel, Chazinhu te kakaru halila b'resh yarcha. And he saw something which he had never seen in his life before, when he was from, this wasn't the minhag, that they were saying halal on Rosh Chodesh. Sava la'asukinhu. So he wanted to stop them. Why? Because the Gemara says at least a certain amount of days in the year where we have to say halal. You can't just make up a obligation to say halal. But once he saw that they're skipping parts, they're skipping in the paragraphs like we do. Ama, he said, Ah, Shema mina minhag avotechem beyatechem. I see. The reason why they're saying this halal is not because they feel they are mechoyav, they are obligated to do it. Rather, they're doing it because of a minhag. So this is a minhag. Did they say bracha on this minhag or not? Says Rabbi Yaakov. Look, the Moshe. Let's work this out. Had they not said a bracha in the beginning of the halal, wouldn't Rav realize straight away that doing it was of a minhag? He would have realized straight away. Why was it only when they started skipping parts? Then he realized it's a minhag. Elamai, what do you see? It must be that they did say bracha in the beginning, and that's why Rav didn't realize straight away. It was only afterwards when they started skipping parts. Further, Reb Moshe, you have to remember the Gemara in Brachot, that Yudalad Amud Aleph. The Gemara there, coming off the discussion, if one can be mafsik, can make an interruption in Kriyat Shema, b'pnei Hayira, b'pnei Hakavod, b'pnei Parakim, b'emtza Parakim. So the Gemara comes onto the subject of Halel. The Gemara says as follows: Amar Rabba, Yamim Shayachet Gomer Behenet Halel. On the days where we say full Halel, b'emperek leperek posik. Between the paragraphs, one can interrupt. Be'emtza perek eino posik. In the middle of a paragraph, one cannot interrupt. V'yamim she'eina yachid gemar behenat halel. On the days where we don't say a full halel, afilu be'emtza perek posik. Even in the middle of a perek, you can make an interruption. Says Rabbi Yaakov. Again, let's try and work out what's going on over here. We've established from the Gemara in Tanit that this halal on Rosh Chodesh is a, and it's half halal, it's a minhag. Did they say a bracha on this minhag or not? If you're going to say they didn't make a bracha, then how would there be discussion of interrupting or not? The discussion of interrupting only starts when you've said a bracha. Now you have a question: can I interrupt between saying the bracha and what I'm doing, what I'm saying? But if they didn't make a bracha, then the question wouldn't even start. Elamai, you see again, they did make a bracha. And further, with Moshe, you have to remember, most importantly, the Gemara Beitza, Daftalad Amud Bet. Says the Gemara, V'hashta de'adina b'kevia de'yalcha. Nowadays, that we're familiar, we all know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. There was a time they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh is. And so if the Eidim would come late or what have you, then that's why they started in the place which are further away, keeping 2 days of Yom Tov, Misafik. But now says the Gemara that we do know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. Why are we keeping 2 days of Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, my time avdin an trei yomim mishum da shaloch and meitam his haba minhag avotechem ve'edechem because of the minhag of your fathers. Again, you see, Yom Tov Sheni is a minhag, the Gemara says. Now, do we say brachas on Yom Tov Sheni? Of course we do. Asher kiddushanu sabitzvon ani tilat v'lav alechilat matzah. We make brachas left, right, and center. The whole time we make brachas. So how can we suggest with Moshe that you don't make a bracha on a minhag? Said to Moshe, I see. It's very interesting proofs you bring me. But I think, my dear Rabbi Yaakov, you're forgetting about the Gemara in Sukkah, the Chaim Daled Amud Bet. The Gemara there says as follows, Ama Evu, Hava Kamina Kamei Dovalaza Bat Sadok. I was sitting. I came in front of the Balaza Bat Sadok. There was a person that brought an Arava on the 10th day of Sukkot in front of him. Shakil, he took it. Chavit, v'lo barech. He hit it and he didn't make a bracha. Says the Gemara, Kesava, why didn't he make a bracha? Minhag neviim hu. See, the Gemara very clear. The Feirush. But because it's a minhag, that's why he made no bracha. No proof! Shouted Rabbi Yaakov, jumped out of his seat again. What do you mean? There, you're going to bring in proof from there, you don't make a bracha on a minhag. There, you, what are you dealing with? You're shaking, you're merely shaking, you're doing a mere shaking of an arava or beating it. You can't compare that to a chash of a minhag, like saying halal or something like that, where you're speaking out the shvacha shel makom, the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't compare. One's a weaker type of minhag, one's a much, much stronger type of minhag. And so it is. Although this discussion didn't take place directly, but it is this machloket between Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Moshe, the Rambam. They did overlap in time, so they could have theoretically had this conversation, but we do certainly do find recorded Rabbeinu Tam, the Bali Tosfot, in about four or five places in Shas, brings these three proofs. And the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam in Hilchot Brachot, it's very easy to find, it's the last halakha in Hilchot Brachot, says the Rambam as follows. Kol davar shehu minhag, anything which is a minhag. Af al pi sheminhag neviim hu, even though it's a minhag from the neviim, like taking the rabba on Sri Shalchak, although more so a minhag which comes later from the Chachamim. Kugon, for example, Kriyat Halel Barashi Chodashim, saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh, Vachol Shemuel Shel Pesach. You don't make a bracha. So you see, the Rambam has a completely opposite view than Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, that's a shmacha, that's a weaker type of minhag. Rambam has exactly the opposite view. What do you mean? That's a minhag neviim. That's the strongest type of minhag. It's the earliest, from the earliest sources, from the neviim. And even that minhag, you don't make a bracha. Or the more so minhag which come later. Which makes, we're now clear who holds what. But we are left, nevertheless, to answer. We've got three strong gemarot against the Rambam. Firstly, the Gemara in Tanit. Not too hard to answer. The Gemara in Tanit, like we said, Rav came to Bavel. He saw they were saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh. He wanted to stop them. Once he saw they're skipping parts, he realized, they're drinking because of the minhag. Says Rabbeinu Tam, must be they made a bracha. Had they not made a bracha, straight away he would have realized. This is not hard to answer. It's possible themselves entertain this idea. They push it off for a certain reason. But who said Rav came at the beginning? Rav may have come, visited the shul. He came in while they're in the middle of saying Halel. And that's why he wasn't there. Rabban will tell you, they said no bracha in the beginning. But Rav wasn't there to hear that. Him not saying a bracha. That's why he only realized afterwards that when they start skipping parts, that they're doing was of the minhag. Next, the Gemara in Brachot, where we said, this coming off this discussion, whether one can interrupt for Halel, and the Rabbeinu Tam brings this as a raya, You see, it must be they made a bracha. If you made no bracha on the halal, even on half halal, then why would there be a discussion of interrupting or not? On this, the Ran, very interestingly, has an answer to this. The Ran himself, it seems, he also holds. You don't make a bracha on the minhag. It says as follows. That which we say over here, the one does not interrupt in even in half halal for sicha ba'alma, lo mipnei shemivarech alav, not because you made a bracha. Ela, rather, af api shelo berach alav, kevan shehitzcha b'shvacho shel makom, eino leshafsik b'sicha b'tela. Rather, even though one did not make a bracha, once a person started speaking out the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hi Shimon, I haven't seen you in a long time. Yeah, it's nice. It's not the right thing to do. So even if a person is had not made a bracha, but it's still not correct. It's still the discussion is, or rather, still comes into the discussion of making an interruption, because some places you can be in a bracha, not the end zapek. It still comes into discussion because you're speaking out the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the last proof, the Gemara Beitza, it's a bit harder to answer. Again, what did we say? We said, what the proof of Yom Tov Sheni? Yom Tov Sheni, where the minhag says, "His how the minhag of atechem be'atechem." Gemara says clearly that it's a minhag. Do we make brachot on this minhag? Of course we do. As for painless, I had this a big. This is the hardest Gemara to answer, and I asked around a little bit. It turned out the Brisker Rav asked this kasha. Doesn't ask kashas from the other two Gemaras. It's obviously have those as a question, but this question. Biskrov asks a question on the Rambam. The Rambam who holds, clearly, like we've said, that you don't make a bracha on a minhag, how are we going to answer this question about Yom Tov Sheni? Yom Tov Sheni, where you do make brachot, certainly do make brachot, and it's a minhag, so why? So how does that fit in with the opinion of the Rambam? Biskrov is a... We haven't got time, unfortunately, to go through it properly. But just to summarize the brief idea, what he comes out with. Biskov explains that the word minhag can have two meanings. A minhag can be something where you're describing the action or the item you're dealing with. It's purely a minhag. You don't find you use this elsewhere. I'll explain more clearly soon. Whereas the other type of minhag is where the action, the item you're dealing with, is something which is a chetzah shel mitzvah. It's a din in the chetzah. It's a chetzah shel mitzvah. The item is an item of a mitzvah, i.e., meaning to say that you find that you use it elsewhere for a mitzvah, and just the chiyuv, the obligation, is coming because of a minhag. Again, two types of minhagim. One where it's the actual item is a minhag. You don't find you use it elsewhere for a mitzvah, and one type of minhag where the actual item itself is a mitzvah. You find elsewhere, you use it for a mitzvah. But just that the chiyuv, the obligation, is coming because of a koach of a minhag. Says the Piskarov, when did the Rambam say they don't make a bracha on a minhag? That's only something like Netzkila Arava v'Shvi'i Shal Pesach. When you're beating the Arava on Shvi'i Shal Sukkot. When you're beating the Arava on Shvi'i Shal Chag, the seventh day of Yom Tov. That, do you ever find that we ever do it as a mitzvah? We don't. It's purely, in essence, a minhag. That was the type of minhagim the Rambam was coming from when he said, we don't make a brachot on such minhagim. However, where it's a minhag, where you find elsewhere, we use that same action as a mitzvah. Like, for example, eating matzah. Of course we eat matzah as a mitzvah the first night, first day of Pesach. So then, even on Yom Tov Sheni, where the obligation is coming because of a minhag, but because elsewhere we find we have the same item, the same matzah we're using as a mitzvah, so then that type of minhagim the Rambam wasn't speaking about. There, of course, even the Rambam will understand, will agree, that of course you make a bracha on such minhagim. The Rambam wasn't discussing this. And maybe Mr. Shemsun will bring another example of this. About 2 years ago, I had a relative who, Baruch Hashem, had a baby, just before Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, the mother could not go to hear Tkiyas Shofar like she would normally do. And Baruch Hashem was able to bring about Tkiya to the house and to blow Shofar for her. Just before the Baal Tukiyah was about to blow Shofar, he said, ask the mother, do you want to say the brachas? That's to say the brachas. And I objected. I said, no, she can't say the brachas. Was I right or wrong to object? Well, let's see what the Shulchan Aruch has to say. It says the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tavkuf Peitet, Sivav. Even though women are patur from Tkiyat Shofar, it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Gram. It's a time-dependent mitzvah, which we know women are patur from. Nevertheless, says the Machaber, Yocholot Ditzkora. They can nevertheless, they're allowed to blow. If a woman knows how to blow a shofar, no problem, let her blow. V'chen acher sheyatzeh kava. And similarly, someone else who's already been yotzeh, yocholet kol lotzian, he is also allowed to make a bracha for them. Aval, here comes the big but. Eim mevarchot, v'lo yivarchu lahen. Even if a lady is blowing for herself, she can't make a bracha, and no one else can make a bracha for her. Surprisingly, the Maramokom, the source of this halacha, is brought in the Be'er Gola, is the Rambam. Machaber pasuks like the Rambam, they make a bracha on a minhag. This is a minhag. That's why they don't make a bracha. Why can we make a bracha for them if they're not mechuyev? So they're doing because a minhag.
I thought you said you
can. No, they can't. No, they can't make a bracha for them either. No, to make it clear, they can't make a bracha. This is the machaber, and also you can't make a bracha for them. Lo yivarchu lahem. But of course, I'm sure you're looking at me with all puzzled faces because you're not used to that, hearing that. And the reason why is because of the following. The Rama says, the Rama, the Haminhag, Minak Ashkenaz, Shanashim Mevarchot, women do make a bracha, Amitzot Aseh Shazman Grama. Alken, therefore, Gamkan, also over here, regarding Tkiyat Shofar, Tzavachinu Latzman, they can make a bracha for themselves. He goes on to say, for a certain reason, that others cannot make a bracha for them, but they can make a bracha for themselves. So, it would seem that for Bnei Ashkenaz, certainly the custom is, like in the source, Bin Rabbeinu Tam, that we pass on like Rabbeinu Tam, Minag Ashkenaz, that ladies can make a bracha on Tkiyat Shofar. But for Bnei Sfaradim, the Pasuk like the Machaber, it would seem that ladies cannot make a bracha. Regarding the Maisa I was talking about, it was a Sfaradi family, so as you may have guessed. So it would seem at the moment, at least, that I told them the right thing. But it was maybe soon that it's not so simple. Before we go carry on with that, we come up to Chanukah, and there's a very interesting minhag we have on Chanukah, where even though it's purely a minhag, or somewhat, we still make a bracha. What is that minhag? Now, it's not eating donuts or latkes, because it reminds me of, you know, the Maisov. There was once a goy who came up to a certain yid and he's, you know, who he's friendly with. And he goes, I heard about that festival you have, Hanukkah. That's where you have one donut on the first night, two donuts on the second night. Is that? So we're not talking about eating donuts. But rather, I'm not talking about lighting at home, because that's not, even though it's durabanan, it's a takana durabanan. That's much more stronger. It's not a minhag. But rather, as the Beit Yosef brings from the Teshuvat HaBivash, lighting in shul. The lighting in shul is the minhag. And do we make a bracha? Of course we do. And does the Machaber hold you make a bracha? Even the Shulchan Aruch, who passing like the Rambam, it also says, if in Siman Tafush Ein Aleph, the Machaber says, we bet Knesset, and in Shul, Manich or Bekot HaDorom, put it on the southern wall, Umadlikin, you light, Umavarchin, and you make a bracha. Some explain, as the Machaber indeed does go on to say, from the Shuvat Avivash, Mishum Pesum Inisa. The reason is different than normally because it's Pesum Inisa, it's publicizing the Nes. But according to the Biskulov, we say we don't have to say that. Here, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a minhag which originates from a mitzvah. Since it originates from a mitzvah, just the obligation is coming because of a minhag. So then, even the Rambam agrees that you make a bracha on such a minhag. Regarding the minhag svarazim, whether, or the halakha for svarazim, whether they can make a bracha on a minhag or not, if anyone wants to do the shir now, it's, from everything we've said, it would seem that on things which are the etzma minhag, like we said regarding halal Rosh Chodesh, and regarding Hitilat Arava, which everyone holds, and regarding ladies making a bracha on mitzvah tashesh hazman grama, including, for example, shaking lulav, can a woman make a bracha on shaking a lulav? It's also a time-dependent mitzvah. It would seem from what we said till now that they can't. And so is the opinion, indeed, of the Shulchan Aruch. However, if you look further into the Sfadi Poskim, you see it's not necessarily so simple. The Ben Ish Chai, in his conscious Sod Yesharim, he brings, and he seems to say, that in fact women can indeed rely, and certainly when there's a minhag, rely on Rabbeinu Tam, and they can make a bracha with the exceptions of Sifirat HaOmer, Talit, Mitzvah Tzitzit, and Tefillin. For reasons based on the Arizal, which for the people over here under 40, I'm not allowed to go into, but for reasons based on the Arizal, those three mitzvot, women should definitely not make a bracha at all, Sifirat HaOmer, Talit, Tefillin, but others, he seems to say that you can. But moving on, very interestingly, to the Birkei Yosef, to the Chida. The Chida came to Eretz Yisrael, and it's the first time in his life he saw, it seems, women making a bracha on a lulav. And he objected. He says, how can they do this? Denagu kach me'atzman. They've made this up for themselves. We've accepted the ruling of the Rambam, Umaran, and the Shulchan Aruch. And they have paskund. You can't make a bracha. So how can these ladies, who are not from Bnei Ashkenaz, from Bnei Sfaradim, how can they make a bracha on a lulav? He goes on to say, they asked the Chachamim of the generation, and they said, yes, they've made up for themselves. Shemibavatalit, nullify this minhag. And then he says, after a time later, it came to his hands a sefer from one of his rebbes who writes that this is a minhag ta'ut, it's a mistake. V'chol ha-mevatel al-minhag tovo alav bracha. Whoever is mevatel, nullifies this minhag, they should get a bracha. It comes a very strong against this. However, with all this opposition, he then goes on to say, v'ach hazman, after a time later, there's a came to his hands a very interesting sefer. We have to give a little bit of introduction to this sefer because you're going to fall off your seat if you don't have a bit of introduction. Rabbeinu Yaakov Mimarvej was one of the Bali Tosfot, lived in the 13th century, and he was a Mekubal. And whenever he would have a question, something in Halakha particularly, it would seem that he wasn't able to machriya, to decide between the Rishonim, who we hold like. So then he would daven, he would say tefillah, and then in a dream, b'chalom, in a dream, he would be revealed, at least in a b'derech remez, through a hint, what the answer to the question was. And says the Chidal, this was no exception. In case you're wondering whether this is authentic or not, other Rishonim also bring down the sefer is called Shelot de Teshuvot Min HaShemayim. Yeah, questions and answers Min HaShemayim, which is also brought down in other Rishonim, such as Teshuvot LeHaLeket. And this was his question. V'zeh Lashono. Sha'alti al Hanashim. I asked regarding Nashim, regarding ladies. Shemavarchot al Halulav. They're making a bracha on Lulav. V'al Tekiat Shofar. Imesh Avera. If it's an Avera to do this, V'im Havi Abracha Levatala. Because they're not commanded to, so it's purely a minhag. When they answered him with remez with the pasuk, Kol asher toma elecha sarah shema bekola. Whatever Saras tells you, listen to her voice. V'lech amo lehem, go and tell them, shuv lachem lo halechem, go back to your tents, u'baruch et Hashem elokeichem, and bless Hashem elokeichem. What does this tell us? Min HaShemayim, they're told to Rabbi Yaakov min Marvej, that women can make, they don't have to, they don't have to take lulav, we know they're potzul, but they can make a bracha. And the chidah, like we said, after all the opposition, even coming from the Mechaber and the Rambam and all the other of his rebbes who came against this minhag, but for this seems to be his conclusion that they can. I'm not coming, of course. Excuse me. Torah Eim L'Shamayim. I'll have a teshuva on this question. I don't have time to go through, but ask me after B'nai Lav, I'll talk about it more. So I'm not, of course, coming to Paskin for anyone, but the point is to make it known that, you see, it's not so simple to say, so simply for B'nai Ashkenaz, they make a bracha on a minhag, B'nai Sfardim, don't make a bracha on a minhag. It's not so simple. There are many kehilot, even nowadays, where a lulav is passed around to the ladies, even in Sephardi kehilot, and they do make a bracha. Other kehilot of Sephardim are very particular, women don't make a bracha. But the point is, each person has to find out from their own rav and what their minhag is, or their custom should be. Going back to Halel and Rosh Chodesh, which you spoke somewhat quite a lot about. So it's true that at the end of the day, not surprisingly, based on everything we've said, the Mechaber comes out in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Chaf Bet, that he seems to be like the Rambam, that we don't make a bracha on Halel and Rosh Chodesh, but the Ramah says, V'yashomim, Dagam Yachim, Mevarech Alav, you can make a bracha, surprisingly, or not surprisingly, things from the Binu Tam, V'chen Nogim, Mim Dinot Elu, and that is the Minhag, says the Ramah, in Bnei Ashkenaz, to make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh. Again, for Bnei Sfardim, it's not so simple. Most kilot don't make a bracha as it happens, but there are some that just the Shliach Tzibur does. But more to the point that I want to finish off with is a very interesting Ben Ish Chai on Parshat Vayikra, where the Ben Ish Chai says, what is the reason anyhow? What is going on? What is Rosh Chodesh anyhow? Why making a bracha? Why saying halal rather? If it's a minhag, what's the minhag originating from? Says the Ben Ish Chai, interestingly, Rosh Chodesh, in things from the Yerushalmi, Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be a moed, supposed to be a chag like every other chag we have, like Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. We're supposed to have a chag every month, Rosh Chodesh, but we lost that zuchut because of the Chet Ha'egel. And that's why, at least because of the minhag, it's a symbolic v'yonta. Like maybe people have the minhag. Some people do have the minhag on Rosh Chodesh. They like and have they have a meal with candles, and so it's fitting to do. Some of the minhag women don't do work because women weren't involved in chet egel. But says the Ben Ish Chai, b'sof hadorot, when Mashiach comes, that will be the end of the tikkun for the chet egel. Then everything will go back to the way it was supposed to be, and Rosh Chodesh will be a proper moed. So then, of course, there'll be no more diverse minhagim regarding Rosh Chodesh, at least, because everyone will be saying full halal and with a bracha. It should be zocher to see b'mehar b'minu. Amen.